If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Garrettson and Toth presents The Shift with Jack Johnson on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM and 94.5 FM.
We are back with another edition of The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I'm your host, Jack Johnson, alongside new producer Jake Gutierrez, coming over from the Border Patrol. He replaces Marco, and both those guys do 4 hours of radio and then are gracious enough to go over and do one more hour of talk radio. So Jake's been up for a long time. He's been talking Chiefs for a long time, and this is one of those days where it's going to be predominantly Chiefs. Because they fell last night at Lambeau Field to the Green Bay Packers. It is their third loss in their last five games, and there haven't been many stretches like this in the Patrick Mahomes era, let's be honest. There has not been many times where they lose a game, followed up with a win, and then immediately go back to the losing column, but that's exactly where we are today. An ugly, ugly, ugly loss to Green Bay, 27-19, and maybe Green Bay was hearing what I was saying all season long, and that they were one of the worst teams in the NFC when they were 2-6 at one point. Offense couldn't do anything. They had bad losses. I thought that their lone win of the season that was a true win was against Chicago in week one, because when they beat the Saints, Derek Carr went out and Jameis Winston had to go in on the fly. But other than that, they had been a really bad bunch. Last night, not the case. Jordan Love might have had his best game of his NFL career. I mean, in just terms of efficiency, he was great on Thanksgiving against Detroit. Equally as good last night against the Chiefs defense, who really hadn't made many quarterbacks look good. But that looked like the Chiefs defense of old. Green Bay only had about 7 or 8 possessions and were efficient in every single one of them. I don't believe either the Chiefs forced 1 3-and-out last night. Just all around terrible. And the offense, even though it only put up 19 points, I can't say that it was a lack of efficiency. I can't really say that they struggled mightily. I thought there were a lot of things the Chiefs did really well. Number one, they ran the football effectively. Isaiah Pacheco had his best game since the Jets game. They had nearly 340 yards of total offense. They were 7 of 11 on third down. That was a better clip than Green Bay's 5 of 10. They had more first downs than Green Bay, but they did lose the turnover battle. They had one costly turnover. We're going to talk about that, whose fault it was, between Patrick Mahomes and Sky Moore. But I guess I'm just at a loss of words this morning. You know, I remember saying last week with Marco that after the Buffalo game, you know, Kansas City really had a chance to run the table. Nobody on their schedule really frightened me, and I don't think I sit here today in fear of the Green Bay Packers, one, because they're on the NFC side, but it's more so of the internal flaws this team has that just don't really seem like they're going to be corrected. I might have fallen for it a little bit against the Raiders. I might have fallen for it just thinking the offense might have clicked. It was a divisional road game, a rivalry. They trailed by 2 scores. And last night I kept waiting and waiting and waiting for that game to flip. But surprisingly, it was not the offense I was frustrated with. Last night, the defense couldn't get off the field. Now, I do want to point out the fact that Drew Tranquil went down in the first quarter. If Drew Tranquil doesn't go down, does the defense ever regroup? I actually do think they go through a couple of stretches where they can adjust. I mean, that's your green dot there. You're down to your third-string linebacker in Jack Cochran. You didn't have Drew Tranquil. You didn't have Nick Bolton. Then Brian Cook goes out with an ugly injury, though it was just reported it was the x-rays came back negative. So hopefully he just misses a couple of weeks, but his foot was all the way turned around. I'm surprised there was no break there. So the Chiefs were dropping like flies all over the field, and defense really couldn't settle in, and that's why we're talking about a 27-19 loss. And it's frustrating because you know this team is capable, I would say capable, of more than what they're showing. This is a team that offensively is limited by a lack of a number one wide receiver. I think it is limited by the fact that Travis Kelce, as great as he's been, as though he's on pace for 1,000-plus yards this season, he just looks banged up to me. He looks like he's hurting out there. Offensive line has had its problems last night. I thought did a better job than maybe they did against the Raiders, but still some dumb penalties on Jawan Taylor. Wanya Morris came in and stepped up for Donovan Smith, who was battling a neck injury. Interior really led the way for Isaiah Pacheco. Like, there were good aspects of this game for Kansas City, but at the end of the day, it's a loss. It's an 8-point loss to a team that I didn't consider to be very good. The chunk yardage that Green Bay got on first down, I mean, that kind of dictated the game for me. When you have a team get that many yards on first down, second down, and set up third and short, it's going to be a long night for your defense, and it was. When the Chiefs needed to get a big stop, get off the field, they kind of reverted back to the bend, don't break. Now, they may drive down 60, 65 yards. They'll get a field goal, and that was good enough last year. But that was good enough last year because the offense could score. The offense before that could score. The offense before that could score. This one is just a little bit flawed, I would say. And that's with a great rushing performance from Isaiah Pacheco yesterday. I thought Patrick Mahomes was very efficient. But also, this offense has kind of turned into a checkdown offense. I mean, Patrick Mahomes throws a lot of swing passes, a lot of pop passes. There's not many times he's throwing the ball down the field. He averaged 6.4 yards per attempt last night, quarterback rating of 79.1. And his completion percentage was near 90% in the first half, but he finished with 63.6. Drops weren't a huge issue, though there was some controversy in the fourth quarter. Of course, the interception that he had, and then the blatant missed pass interference on Marquez Valdez-Scantling and the final drive. Now, I could sit here and continue to harp on officials, and I could blame the officials for the loss, but I'm not going to do that because of the fact that the Chiefs were clawing and scrambling on that final drive. I mean, the Chiefs put themselves in an 8-point hole. Yes, was it a pass interference? I mean, absolutely. Anybody with eyes could see that was blatant pass interference. The Chiefs also got gifted a call on the late hit out of bounds on Patrick Mahomes. I know it's a difference in penalties. Like, Valdez-Scantling is probably going to be a, 50-yard penalty, set him up inside the 5-yard line. I mean, that would have been beneficial. But again, the Chiefs put themselves in an 8-point hole. That is far too difficult to overcome. Oh, Jake, I want to swing it to you now for the first time on the show and get your thoughts about maybe this defense and their collapse in this game, the offense looking somewhat better, but again, not scoring more than 20 points on the road. I mean, I think the big question is, does this ever fix itself? Does this group ever turn things around? Or at the end of the day, it's too late in the season. This is exactly who they are, and they're going to have to hope they can win the turnover battle in January. Otherwise, it's going to be an early exit this year.
No, I mean, they were on their third string green dot, you know, and I think that limits what Spags can do. We all know, we've watched this defense. Spags loves his stunts. He loves his blitzes, exotic blitzes, McDuffie coming off the corner. Yeah, you've seen it all season long. And I think when you have a guy inexperienced in the middle calling the plays, trying to orchestrate that defense, you know, I think that limits what Spags can do. So I think, you know, this defense can get better once guys – I mean, Drew Tranquil, his praises were sung all last week, you know, and it's – he going down that early, I think it was just a devastating blow to that defense. So I think it can get better once Nick Bolton gets right. We don't know how bad Tranquil is yet. You know, I think that's, you know, if Reed went out early, I think you're losing the middle of that defense. You also have to give credit to Jordan Love and that Packers offense. And you know, LaFleur called an amazing game and kept that defense on his heels. So I'm not so concerned about the defense. I think that Cook injury looked horrible. And you start adding these things up, I'm okay with the defense. Now, the interception, last night, just watching it, I kind of put it just, I don't know if it's natural at this point in time just to put everything on Sky Moore or the receivers. But in the immediate, like, response is like he hesitated, you know. And look, I just always give the benefit of the doubt to Patrick Mahomes, and that's just natural. But as it's progressed, as I've heard more about that play, more about that interception, I mean, I think we have to put some of that on Patrick Mahomes. We can play a clip if you want later. Chase Daniel from the Border Patrol Monday Morning Quarterback, former Mizzou quarterback and former NFL veteran, he broke it down really well and what he saw out of it, and not throwing to the back shoulder. Mahomes led him. So that was an error on Mahomes. Also, he just didn't like the play call in general. You know, Pacheco was going, and I mean, he had a hell of a night last night, and not to feed him the ball there at, you know, in that position, you know, so I think there's plenty of blame to go around. And I think if there's one thing I'm not worried about, it's the defense.
Yeah.
I think they get healthy, they get right. I think they can turn around. Getting Bolton back, I think, will be enormous. So I think it's just a bad night for the Chiefs. And it's, you know, we saw it. It felt a lot like, you know, for me, the Raiders game. You like the Raiders.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, they're gonna get this right. Because you can't. For me, I didn't see a whole. There wasn't a whole lot of drops, as you mentioned. You can't. There wasn't a single play that you can throw it out. And in terms of the penalties, I mean, it went bad. The refs had a horrible night on that last drive, on both sides, because that hit on Mahomes was not a late hit.
Yeah,
you know, he was still in bounds, trying to get the first down. That was a bad call. MVS, that catch, you know, he went backwards, so they gave him forward progress out of bounds. The clock should have been running there, you know. And like you said, was that a pass interference call? Absolutely it was. But also, Isaiah Pacheco made a boneheaded move and threw a punch and got ejected from the game, moved him back from the 35 to the 50. I mean, that's a big deal. And also, you can't blame it on the officiating, because the Chiefs won, still had to get in the end zone and get a two-point conversion. So, I mean, hats off to the Packers. That team is, in my opinion, a playoff-ready team. They have their destiny in their own hands. I think, depending on how bad Watson's injury is, you know, he came up late with that hamstring in the game. I think that team's going to win out and put themselves into the playoffs. And you know, Jordan Love showed me a lot. You know, I watched that Thanksgiving Day game pretty closely, and that kind of piqued my eyes. I know early in the season, everybody was really hot on him, and then he kind of had a lull in the middle of the year and got a lot of crap. But that kid's impressive, and I think Matt LaFleur is a hell of a coach, and I think that combo has a lot of promise with the young talent at wideout positions and Love calling the signals. Packers, they look strong, so you got to tip your hat to them. And, man, they got a tough one coming up this weekend. They're going to be tested. They're going to be tested to the extreme. So I expect Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes to answer the call. But, you know, just focusing right now on what we saw yesterday, they were still in the game, though.
Yeah.
As bad as they played, all the injuries that they had, they still had the ball driving. And they had several opportunities that, you know, I just – that interception was just killer for me. Because that's classic Mahomes, like, okay, here we go. This is why he's the best in the league. Mm-hmm. This is why he's, you know, only behind Tom Brady right now in my eyes. Like there's guys that you do not want to see at the end of the game, late in the fourth quarter, with the ball in their hands, driving, when you're up and only down a score. And Patrick Mahomes is one of those guys, and he's struggled, and he's human, and that we're just not used to seeing that.
And Chris Collinsworth even brought it up a couple of times when Green Bay was driving. It was like, disregard the field goal. Disregard the field goal, because you give Patrick Mahomes the ball back in this situation, he's going to go down and get a touchdown. And what's weird, though, about this team and Patrick Mahomes this year, like, you know he's got that capability. You know he can go down the field to do a game-winning drive, but we just haven't seen it as often this year because the offense isn't as high-powered. The offense isn't as explosive. And you're exactly right, Jake, that the interception, like, that was, to me, the killer. That was the game-winning drive they were trying to orchestrate. And for some reason, they abandoned the run. I mean, the run was working on that drive. It wasn't like it was a minute 30 to go. They had time to milk the clock and run the football. They would have probably tried to score and go for two, so they'd go up by three and then force Green Bay to tie that and send it to overtime. But I don't know why you need to, I guess, go for the home run hitter. And to that interception, you know, I played, I'm not going to use the phrase of, well, I played quarterback, I know what I'm doing here. I'm not saying that. I was not a good quarterback, and the main reason why was that I was very much a first read and the type of play. So if there was a play designed for one player, I'm throwing that ball no matter what, because I just expect that guy to get open. And that play specifically with Sky Moore felt like a, we're just going to throw it. He's going to be there. And I think blame does fall on Sky Moore, because when does it not? You know, as Jake said, we give the benefit of the doubt to Patrick Mahomes all the time. You know, when he throws an interception, oh, what'd the wide receiver do? Wrong route, dropped the pass, didn't get separation. And that was just an odd play by Sky Moore. Like, if he continues to run through that, I don't think it's caught. I don't think it's picked off. I think when Sky Moore tried to adjust and he stopped his route, that allowed the cornerback to adjust a little bit and then go and intercept the ball. The reason I bring that up is because Patrick Mahomes has to know in that moment, hey, maybe they did read that route. Maybe they did see this play coming. And I believe Nixon said in the postgame that Patrick Mahomes had that, you know, knee tap, I think it was, or two clap, and they were like, here's that play. Yeah, perfect. And Jake tells me he's got the clip here. So I would love to hear that clip, because that's another thing with this offense. Are they becoming too predictable? Let's just hear from the guy who picked it up himself and how he was able to read that throw from Patrick Mahomes.
Kept your feet in bounds this time?
Yeah, I had to. It's been a minute. I've been trying to get one this whole year. It should have been my third one, but we'll take the first one, Mahomes.
What'd you see on that play?
He checked. We watched a mannerism tape earlier in the week, and he tapped his knee, and they put two off the ball. I'm like, oh, I've seen this before. I knew he was going to run it, and he ran it.
Yeah, I don't want to say that is a doomsday scenario for Kansas City, because it feels like for the better part of 5 to 6 years, nobody's been able to figure out what's coming from Patrick Mahomes. That could just be a one-off. But man, for the way that play was designed, it's like, how is that the play that sniffed out? How is that a pass to Sky Moore? Like a design throw. And that's, I think, what frustrated me the most last night. They were getting chunk yardage from Isaiah Pacheco. Rashee Rice was having another great game. Travis Kelce was getting open over the middle of the field. And yet in that moment, it's, let's see if we can get Sky Moore basically on a wheel route. And if it would have worked, I mean, we're probably sitting here today talking about how genius that play call was. I mean, that's kind of the odds there. That's kind of the weighing the balance, if you will. You're either going to look like a genius, or you're going to look like an idiot throwing the ball to Sky Moore. That's always been the case. But in that moment, I just thought it was a bit unnecessary. Like, I almost wonder if I have a different take on it if it was third down. You know, if it's third down and you're really trying to get somebody open, you're trying to get creative, I guess I can live with it a little bit more. But that was first down, if I'm not mistaken. That was right after Kansas City had picked one up. Now, they got their chance to go back down the field, tie that game. Yes, it was more so of a miracle. They needed to throw a Hail Mary in the end zone. It didn't work out. But I don't know. I mean, we've just gotten to that point in the season. It is now December 4th. It's Monday, December 4th. I might have fallen for it last week, even though it was a bad Raiders defense. I didn't think they were fixed, but I thought that maybe a little bit of the mojo had come back. It's December 4th. I just do not believe this group is going to be able to string together five games in a row here. Five games in a row with the offense looking spectacular. I don't see it. Jake pointed out, too, they have a buzzsaw game this weekend. They'll get a desperate Buffalo team, and that may be a more dangerous Buffalo team than you saw last year. This is late in the season. They are fighting for the playoffs. They're going into Arrowhead with nothing to lose. Now, maybe Buffalo's going, this is also a bad time to catch Kansas City because they just lost to Green Bay and they're pissed off a little bit. But it's no let up this coming Sunday. It's a let up in the weeks after that. You'll get the Patriots, who are the worst team in the NFL right now, in my opinion. Then you're going to get the Raiders at home. You'll get the Chargers to close out the year. It's a pretty soft schedule. So you could walk into the postseason at 12-5. And maybe we forget about this game when Green Bay inevitably goes on to the playoffs now because their schedule's really easy. I mean, that's kind of the funny thing about this season. And we're talking about how bad this offense is, you know, how it's just a different team. They're not explosive anymore. And then national pundits are saying it's the end of the dynasty. The funny and ironic thing of this all is they do not have a bad loss on their schedule. Detroit, really good. No, you look at Denver, 6-6, but it's a much better loss than it was back then. Now, then you have this loss to Green Bay. Green Bay may now win double digits. I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles, 10-2. So overall, you know, this is just a group that maybe is not as bad as we think they are, and maybe they're not as good as we expect them to maybe become. This is just who they are. I think the best chance they have now is hoping, one, Buffalo doesn't make the postseason. I mean, the good thing is, of their four losses, three of them are in the NFC, and one of them may not make the playoffs in Denver. So if those were just bad matchups in general, well, they're not going to see him. They might see Philly in the Super Bowl if they were to get to the Super Bowl, but I know a lot of people today are not expecting the Chiefs to get to the Super Bowl. But I still stand by the fact the AFC is not really that scary to me. And that's top to bottom here. I mean, Miami and Baltimore at 9-3. Jacksonville could go to 9-3 after tonight's game against Cincinnati. But Kansas City right now, the season ends today. They would host Pittsburgh in the wild card round with Mitch Trubisky at quarterback and their negative 37-point differential. That would be technically as close to a bye as you could get in the postseason. Cleveland is still a playoff team. Indianapolis with Gardner Minshew is a playoff team. I think Houston does get in. But if you get in with this playoff field, this playoff picture, I still think Kansas City is going to have a chance, but it's going to have to be different. You're going to have to win the turnover battle. You're going to have to make sure this defense doesn't have blunders like last night. And a lot of that came down to injury concerns. Guys getting banged up. Key guys getting banged up. Couldn't really blitz anymore. The heat wasn't really there on Jordan Love. We'll still have plenty more Chiefs talk to get into in this show. We're actually going to continue talking more about this game. But let's take our first break of the show. When we come back, let's continue to recap this 27-19 loss to the Green Bay Packers on ESPN Kansas City. We are back here on The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I am your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Jake Gutierrez. Well, Jake teased us a little bit, and I can't wait to hear this audio in full. But Chase Daniel on the Border Patrol talking about that interception that Patrick Mahomes had throwing to Sky Moore. Whose fault was it? Here was Chase Daniel's thoughts on the Border Patrol.
It was Mahomes' fault. And it was a classic miscommunication from Mahomes to Sky Moore. But at the end of the day, and I'll explain it, Mahomes should have thrown it back shoulder. And that's what Sky Moore was expecting, a back shoulder throw. You put it on him. Okay, and here it is. When you get the number two receiver off, okay, they're checking to a classic pick play, just like you had said, and Rashee Rice is supposed to come down and pick the guy over Sky Moore. Sky Moore is supposed to da-da-da, like in his feet in the ground, 2 or 3 feet, and then go up the sideline. And that play is all built on what the defender over Sky Moore is going to do. If Sky Moore's defender goes over the top of Rashee Rice, it should be a back shoulder right now, like 6 yards down the field. And quite honestly, you don't want him to go over the top. You want him to go underneath. If he goes underneath Rashee Rice and tries to go under him, okay, you want to be able to put that ball like Mahomes threw it over the top, like a little fade ball before the safety gets there. So the whole point is the defender went over top. It should have been a back shoulder. And Sky Moore, I think, was like, oh, I know it's going to be a back shoulder because we practiced it thousands of times. But it came out of Mahomes' hand as a down-the-field fade route, if that makes sense. So in my opinion, based on what I know of the offense and everything that happened, it was Mahomes'. I thought Mahomes should have put it back shoulder, And that's another thing, too. Like, when you get into a pick play like that, you want the guy over the slot receiver, you want him pressed, okay? You don't want him off. If he's off, it's not a good play. If he's pressed, it's much easier for Rashee Rice to go in and pick him, and then you're going to get Sky Moore up the sideline for a big play. So I didn't like getting to the play call there more than anything, and then the throw obviously was wrong as well.
That was former Missouri Tiger quarterback and Kansas City Chief quarterback Chase Daniel on the Border Patrol talking about that interception that Patrick Mahomes had to Sky Moore. As things stand right now for the 2023 season, Patrick Mahomes has played 12 games. His completion percentage, 67.8. He's thrown for 31,027 yards, 22 touchdowns, or I said 31,000, 3,100, excuse me, 27 yards, 22 touchdowns, 10 picks, quarterback rating of 95.1. That quarterback rating of 95.1, as it stands right now, a career low. If you take out that one start he had against Denver back in 2017. Last year, 41 touchdowns, 37 the year before that, 38 in 2020, 26-5 in that 2019 year, but that was also the year that he missed time with the shattered kneecap or the dislocated kneecap that he had. So things do just feel a little bit different with Patrick Mahomes this year. I think a lot of things factor into it. But I do want to get your thoughts on this, Jake, if I can keep my voice going for the next 30 minutes of the show. It's been completely gone all weekend and trying to get through it today.
We'll get you through, brother.
Yes, we'll try to get through it. But this year feels different, I think, for a variety of reasons. One, wide receiver core. Two, I think offensive line play. But three, I almost think it's the play calling that has been very consistent this year. I don't think consistent in a good way. I think it's a very limited offense, a lot of checkdowns. But when Patrick Mahomes makes mistakes this year, it kind of feels like those type of plays where it's the wrong decision to either lob a pass, back shoulder it, or fire it in there. And I don't think we've really seen that so far in the career of Patrick Mahomes. But how do you see it with the mistakes that he's made this year on these interceptions? Is that something that can get corrected, or is this something where he's just not on the same page with his receivers?
Yeah, I think there's a lack of trust there. And also, I mean, for me, there's a lot of what I've seen from Patrick Mahomes. They're just abnormal interceptions. They're just interceptions at times. They're just like, well, I've never seen that before. And that is concerning, but it's like we've been so spoiled. And I mean that in the best possible way. But as Chiefs fans or people who, you know, watch a lot of Chiefs games, you have an expectation of the highest level. And so when the guy starts to come back a little bit, I mean, he's still top four or five quarterbacks in the league. He's having a down year for sure. But, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is how much does he miss Eric Bieniemy? You know, I think that has to be in play. You know, even Andy Reid, how much does he miss Eric Bieniemy? Eric Bieniemy was a guy who kept Andy Reid in check. And, you know, Andy Reid goes to call play. Maybe Bieniemy second guesses him or say, you're sure, coach? And maybe, you know, we don't know those behind the scene things. But you look at the offense this year, you look at the offense from last year. For me, that's the biggest missing piece that's not on the field. And so, you know, we knew Eric Bieniemy was a guy who held players accountable. He took no BS from guys. And so who's that vocal leader from the coaching staff right now? You know, Nagy is not the same guy Eric Bieniemy is, just in terms of what I see from the podium, from what I see on the practice field. That's my first question. But back to the Mahomes I feel like there's a lack of trust, and then it's like he's forcing it, right? You know, and it is checkdowns to guys he trusts. So it's hard to get a gauge on it. It's weird saying this because, you know, all of Patrick Mahomes' career is like, yeah, we want the ball last as the Chiefs fan, as the Chiefs, you know, we want the ball last, make sure there's at least a minute and a half, 2 minutes on the clock, maybe a timeout or two. Yeah, we'll take that every day of the year. And as we've progressed through the season, I'm more inclined right now to take you know, like what we had in Germany against the Dolphins, right? You have the lead, giving them the ball with 4 minutes, 3 minutes, and let them try to score. And look how that worked out. You know, the defense stepped up and answered to one of the most potent offenses in the league. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, the first half and second half of that game in Germany, night and day, topped off with a huge play by McDuffie and a return, you know, for a touchdown. So, you know, defensive score on Tyreek Hill's fumble. Those are the kind of plays that got them over the hump against the Dolphins. But look, they had a huge stand at the end of that game. And I'm more inclined, like, get the lead in the fourth quarter and then let the defense do the work. It seems ridiculous to say that. But right now, I feel better with that scenario than the converse, you know, what I just stated. I don't, you know, sure, I still have all the trust in the world, and I'm not going to second guess Patrick Mahomes and that offense just off of what we saw last night. But, you know, look at even Kelce had that big turnover against the Eagles that was mm-hmm. giant. Like, those aren't things that we are used to seeing out of this offense. You know, a red zone fumble that completely changed the dynamic of that football game. Because I don't know, like, last night for the first time, I kind of felt like the Chiefs didn't beat themselves and the Packers beat the Chiefs. And look, the Chiefs had plenty of plays that you take back, and they were bad plays, the interception, but that was the only turnover of the game. So, like, hats off to the Packers. You're on the road in Lambeau. You know, the other games you look at, you know, the Chiefs beat themselves. You know, the Eagles game, the Denver, how many, 5 turnovers against the Broncos?
Yeah, in 5.
Denver? So it's like you're never going to win turning the ball over that many times. The Lions game, you know, they had a freak, you know, the Tony
the drop,
deflection,
yep.
That deflection and the drop. For the pick six mm-hmm. and the drop. So it's like they beat themselves in those 3 games. And last night, even though they had the opportunity to drive down the field and get a touchdown and a possible 2-point conversion, I felt like the Packers just outplayed them. In the other 3 games, I feel like the Chiefs kind of let themselves down. So I don't know if you can kind of ride high on that. Just, you know, they didn't beat themselves. But I don't know. There's some things that have to – and I have all the confidence in the world in Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, but it is getting late. It is getting late in the season, and I think this weekend is going to be telling moving forward. You know, if they can put the Bills down, I think – the conversation next Monday is going to look completely different, you know, especially because, you know, the Ravens and Dolphins play each other. So that's a loss for one of those 2 teams. I don't think Jacksonville is going to have too tough of a time tonight with Bengals. I just don't know how the Bengals are going to keep up scoring with Jacksonville tonight. So, you know, I think that line's 10. I think that's probably about right. You know, 24-14, 24-10, something in that arena for that Monday night football matchup. But, you know, yeah, I mean, you mentioned the playoff picture, and as it sits today, yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh that's not a good football team. It's just, I mean, they lost to the Cardinals this weekend. It's just, that's not a good football team. I do not want to see the Bills get into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That is a dangerous team. That is a team with a world of talent. You know, so, you know, out of all the teams right now, you look at in the hunt and in the wild card, like, Texans defense looked tough this
week. Oh, yeah.
You know, they put down the Broncos with a big interception in the end zone at the end of the game by Ward to put that game away. And, you know, C.J. Stroud is, you know, if not rookie of the year candidate, he's in the conversation of MVP right now. So it's like, I don't want to see Stroud and that defense. You know, because they're going to be a wild card team if Jacksonville stays the course. That's why the last weekend game, Jacksonville and Houston, was such a massive game for that division. So, you know, the Chiefs are still, there's still 2 games in the lead of the West. They don't have any, I don't think there's any threat right now unless an absolute collapse happens at not winning the West. And look, We're used to having that first round bye, but look, some years you're not going to get the bye every year.
Exactly.
Patrick Mahomes still does not know what it's like to play a playoff game on the road. That is insane. That stat is insane. The fact that he's played every one of his playoff games at home or on a neutral site, being the Super Bowl, is that's something that's those type of stats is why we are spoiled, why we are worried about not getting that one seed, which it's still conceivable that they can get that. You know, they are going to have to, you know, their destiny's in their own hands, but they have the tiebreaker over the Dolphins right now, over the Jacksonville Jaguars right now. So if they have, you know, a tie with either one of those teams head to head, they have them both. So they're still sitting in a really good spot. It's just hard, you know. It's Monday and the Chiefs lost, so it's a bad
doom
flavor.
And gloom.
Yeah, it's a bad flavor in the mouth. But you know, I think it will be compounded if Buffalo comes into Kansas City and knocks off the Chiefs. That then you start worrying about, okay, is this team, does it have what it takes to get to the Super Bowl this year? Those kind of questions will start being asked.
And that would be the third regular season year in a row that Buffalo's coming to Arrowhead and won, which I think, yeah, we're talking about a much different story if they do go in and win on Sunday, speaking of Kansas City, and we're having a different conversation 7 days from now. I think the toughest pill to swallow is that going back to that 2020 divisional game against the Texans when they fell behind 24-0 and then proceeded to win that game by 20 points. I mean, something that really had never been done in the NFL before. Every Patrick Mahomes game since, I have almost just looked at it as playing with your food. It's entertaining. If Kansas City falls behind by 14, I'm almost like, I wonder what it would be like at 21-0. I still feel like Patrick Mahomes is going to come back. I mean, he's done it so many times. They put up the stat last night in the graphic that Patrick Mahomes was 15-11 when trailing by 10-plus points in a game. No other quarterback in history had a winning record. Like, that's just what we've become accustomed to. And Jake said it perfectly. We're spoiled. We just expect that to happen. You know how many teams in the league can expect their quarterback to overcome a 2-score deficit? Not many. I mean, last week, not only did they overcome a 2-score deficit, they won by 2 scores. They went on a 31-3 run. Not many teams can do that, and not many quarterbacks can do it with a receiving core like this. But the reason I say it's a tough pill to swallow is that now, when you look at the losses they've had this year, more specifically the road games with Denver and Green Bay, those were two games where they got punched in the mouth early and they never really responded emphatically. I think in the Denver game, they never responded. Never one time did Kansas City seriously threaten with a response. Last night, they did. They had an opening drive touchdown coming out of the second half. And I felt like, man, now you get the defense with some rest. They're going to get off the field. And what did Green Bay do? They drove down the field and had a touchdown. And there is some film now. We've seen in the last 2 weeks. The Raiders had it for their first 3 drives of the game. Green Bay had it all night long, pretty much. It seems like offenses are going back to the let's milk every second off the play clock before we snap it. But that really only can work if your offense can move the ball. If you're milking the clock and you're going 3 and out, well, you're just going to have no possessions. I mean, Kansas City is going to win by 20-25 points. But Green Bay really, I thought, had the best game plan, the best execution, and how you would beat a defense like that in Patrick Mahomes. You just wear them down.
How many times last night did you see them go no huddle at the line and let and they milk the clock all the way down to the last 3 or 4 seconds of the play clock? But like, what a smart move, because what they're doing is they're not allowing any substitutes on the Chiefs defense. And it's like, I don't think I've seen that strategy against the Chiefs this year. Like to the extent, you know, of course teams get in hurry ups and they do it, but it looked so intentional. Of we're going to get to the line and then we're going to sit here and we're going to let everybody know at the line what play we're calling so you can't sub, especially with the limited personnel that the Chiefs had last night. So, I mean, that was brilliant game planning in my eyes, like what the Packers did and what LaFleur's plan was from the offensive side, you know, because they started doing that, you know, second, third, you know, they didn't have any problems You know, the first two drives were pretty long drives, seamless, you know, on great catches. You know, they had some, like, that sky ball that on the fourth and one.
We haven't even talked about that
yet.
Yeah,
that fourth and one play that Love threw that bomb to Dobbs. With three guys surrounding, you know, I there's tons of luck that goes involved. But, I mean, what a great pass. I mean, from my eyes, you know, that was not a beautiful pass. It was a really lucky pass in my eyes, but it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. So it's like you had those kind of plays, and, you know, just with the strategy that they had going to the line, no huddle, not letting the Chiefs get off the field to make substitutions to you know, I guess counter, you know, not letting Spags get those other players on that he wants to blitz with. You know, I think that had a lot to do with how the Chiefs looked last night.
Well, we think about it too, right, of when Kansas City was blessed with an incompletion or there was a penalty. Look what happened to the Packers' offense. Like, once they got into first and 15 or second and 10, the Chiefs, more often than not, were pretty good in those spots. But when it turned first and 10 into second and 3, it was easy for Green Bay because then you're milking 40 more seconds. And what does Spags love to do? Well, he loves those, you know, cornerback blitzes, those, you know, disguise blitzes. He couldn't do it last night. I don't think Jordan Love in a hurry-up offense, you know, the no huddle, one time last night snapped the ball on the first count. He hard counted three or four times. And credit to the Chiefs defense, they never jumped. So maybe they were prepared, you know, second half a little bit more. But also think about the mentality you're going in with. Okay, so it's, you know, second and 10, they pick up 6 yards, it's third and 4. No huddle offense. Okay, you're rushing to the line. You're going, okay, I got to be ready. It's third and 4. Got to get pressure on the quarterback. And then you're ready to go. Hard count 1, hard count 2, hard count 3. Then you kind of sit back on your heels a little bit. And then when it gets to 1, you've already been sitting idle for 20, 25 more seconds. Like, I think it was just throwing the Chiefs' timing off. The good thing is, because we always say with plays like that of, you know, now the film's out on the Chiefs' defense. The Chiefs are going to adjust that. I think another team that tries to do that, they're going to be better equipped to do it. But last night, it just really wasn't meant to be. We'll take our final break of the show. When we come back, we'll wrap up the shift on ESPN Kansas City. We are wrapping up the shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I'm your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Jake Gutierrez. It was a very lackluster night in Kansas City. For the third time in 5 games, the Chiefs lost. I don't think we've seen a stretch like this since the 2021 season. Remember, everybody thought the sky was falling. They had lost to Buffalo. No, they had had that loss to the Ravens and the Chargers, and I think they were 2-4 at one point. We're all freaking out. Well, that was early on. Chiefs are kind of stumbling here to close out the season. Still 5 games left. Still time to make everybody feel better, and we all know a win against Buffalo on Sunday is going to change things, but when it's the Monday morning after a Chiefs loss, there's not much positivity to go around. But let's hear from Big Red himself and his thoughts if he was positive or negative in the 27-19 loss to the Green Bay Packers.
All right. Listen, the Packers, I thought, did a great job tonight. They got after us. And so it's a good football team. We've got to be able to start faster. And so on both sides of the ball, we've got to make sure we take care of that. So whether it was the penalties on offense or whether we weren't getting off the field on the defensive side, those are things that cost us. And we've got to learn from that and get better as we go forward. As far as the injuries go, Tranquil had a concussion. Cook, we're looking at his ankle now. Donovan Smith had the stingers in the shoulder. Anyways, with that time, Drew. Yeah, you know what, Adam? No, I didn't. He didn't tell me. I didn't talk to him. Yeah.
about his game overall and how he's improved?
Yeah, you can't do that. We got to be more composed and than that. And even though the guy shoved his head into the dirt, you know, I mean, you got to stay composed on it. And you know. Yeah, listen, I mean, they made plays. I mean, they used the clock. They were letting it run down to that 5 seconds and below, and they were getting first down. So that becomes a problem. You got to get out off the field on defense. You got to stay on the field on offense and not shoot ourselves. And that's my responsibility. I mean, for that. So we've got to be better prepared to take care of that stuff right there. And you do that, and then you can win a game. But in this league, there's too much parity, and you come out and they're well coached. They got good players. You come out and self-destruct like that in certain areas, and then you have a problem. Yeah, they probably both weren't on the same page, and they didn't look like so. But we'll get that worked out.
Self-destruct, I think, was the right word in a couple of scenarios. I mean, the interception, the not defending of the arm punt that Jordan Love had on 4th and 1, the slow starts, and across the board. It's all going to pile on top of each other when you lose a game like this. But if you do want a silver lining, if you want some positivity and what you can take away from this, I mean, we've said today already in the show, or at least Jake said it, it's a 2-game lead in the AFC West. Denver is in second place, and they lost yesterday. You're not going to have to feel threatened by the Raiders or the Chargers. And also, I think it comes down to the fact that the Chiefs fan base, as we all know, has been spoiled by the success of Patrick Mahomes, that every single year it's the Arrowhead Invitational. Everybody's got to go through Arrowhead to get to the Super Bowl. It's not like Kansas City is fighting for a playoff chance. I mean, could you imagine the outrage here in Kansas City if we were enduring a season like the Buffalo Bills, being .500, fighting for your season this late? The possibility of missing the playoffs has never even entered the mind of anybody in Kansas City. But also losing just hasn't been a regularity over the last 5 to 6 years. But it happens. It happens. And when this season concludes, even if Kansas City loses to Buffalo on Sunday, let's say they lose to Buffalo and win 4 straight to close out the year against New England, the Raiders, the Bengals, and the Chargers. They're 12-5 going into the postseason. All 5 of their losses are likely against teams with winning records. Even last year, the loss to Indianapolis was the worst loss of the last 2 years, just in terms of who they played and how that team finished up. Green Bay now looks like they're going to be a postseason team. They could run the table. They could win 11 games, considering what their schedule looks like. You look at Detroit. They're going to be a playoff team. Denver, they're going to come close to the playoffs. Philly, they're going to be the NFC number one seed, even though the 49ers smacked them around yesterday afternoon. So at the end of the day, a loss is a loss. It's not like this loss counted for 3 or 4. You're still 8-4. You have a big game to flip things around this coming Sunday at Arrowhead Stadium. And your schedule is really, really light to close out the year. But I don't blame you for feeling pretty down this morning as the Chiefs lost 27-19 to the Green Bay Packers, a fall to 8-4 and down to the 4 seed in the AFC. Well, there's Ray Charles, so it's time to go. That wraps up another edition of The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I've been your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Jake Gutierrez. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10 a.m. You take it easy, Kansas City. Don't treat me so mean, you're the meanest old woman that I've ever seen. I guess if you say so, I'll have to pack my things and go. That's right, hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more. What you say? Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back.
And don't you come back, no.